Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning with my dear, dear pal, Dave Damashek, spaghetti and meatballs behind the glass, producer, babyface Joel Solomon. Shek, how was the weekend? Good? Did you end it in an embarrassing fashion like I did? By ordering the Jake Paul fight, couldn't help
no,
myself.
No, I did not. I had my dignity. I can't wait to hear your details. I've been surfing the web to see everyone else's insightful takes on this nonsense. Listen, Sal, everybody's got opinions about right. everything. And I'm glad to report everyone is 100% right, and I agree with everybody. Can we talk about football, please? I don't want to talk about the Mets voting thumbs down on their own peep. I don't get this jive with the fights. It's football season. That's what's important. So I don't want to get upset about anything. We should be celebrating.
You know what? We are going to celebrate in a few minutes. Fox Big Noon kickoff analyst Brady Quinn is going to join us. Great guy. He's going to get us back on track. But for now, I do have to talk about this Jake Paul fight. And that's it. You were right. Everyone has an opinion, which is why I had to watch it. I was like bullied into ordering it. I was bored also on Sunday night. But I don't want to overstate what happened here. Like people like, I got ripped off. That was the worst $60. Like it was entertaining. It was not a complete ripoff. But then the other side says, well, Jake Paul proved that he can box. He's a boxer. He could box with anyone. I was like, no, I don't think that happened either. He went against Tyron Woodley. Good dude. Was on the show. Was on Against All Odds. Predicted a win. He said he called Jake Paul a huckleberry on our podcast. I don't know. He put up a fight. Some rounds he threw like six punches. He got the best shot in of the whole fight. Sent Paul sprawling through the ropes. But it wasn't a great fight. He keeps beating guys who boxing is not their forte. And it's just it's funny now how he's now Muhammad Ali. I don't want to overstate anything. He's decent. It's a fun watch because you just want him to get. I didn't want him to lose on points. The first time he loses, I want him to be sprawled out, right? Isn't that the way to root for this?
First of all, I don't know. I this is like a curmudgeon thing that it seems like my snark is supposed to be. I sincerely have no idea what the difference is between Jake Paul and Logan Paul. So that's the first order of business. Do they both fight?
You're right. It's like, oh my God, I have to keep track of two COVID variants. Is the Delta and what else? Like, can't they just be one?
They're not twins, right? And why don't we just cut, and they both fight. Am I correct about that? Sure. They both are pugilists?
Yeah.
Why don't they just fight each other? Isn't that what everybody wants? Or Bryson DeChambeau. Either way, let them all fight.
I commented that would have been an awful, awful way to end the weekend there with Bryson and Jake Paul winning. But Bryson, thank God I had Cantlay there. But I do want to say, like, I don't know, it's Meatballs, you watched it. Joel Solomon, you watched it. The thing that Jake Paul is now a fighter can compete in this cruiserweight division. Meatballs, am I crazy? But if you found the cruiserweight who was 3 wins, 9 losses. I don't know that this person exists, but 3 wins, 9 losses in professional, you know, by all standards, a lousy boxer. Wouldn't he beat Jake Paul right now?
I would hope so, but I really don't know.
I know. It's crazy. I know. What about you? You stole it, babyface, right? You stole the fight.
Stole the fight. Watched it on Instagram. Some 12-year-old was like, come on, Jake, you can do it. So that was my punishment for having to watch it on an illegal stream. But I think, you know, kids like that, they're going to think that he is the best fighter of his generation now. You know, if you're just watching these fights, you're thinking that the Paul brothers are basically the Klitschkos at this point.
Well, it's sad what's happened to boxing. Like, they provide the one of the top three events of the year in boxing. Just because, I mean, you see Manny Pacquiao, he goes in there. That was supposed to be a good fight. It was nothing. There was no electricity. They're good showmen, I will say. But Shek, I don't want to overstate what he's doing here. He's fighting guys who fighting boxing is not their forte. They're big names in the ring. He's doing it right. He went against Askren, a wrestler, basically Woodley, a wrestler. I don't know what other wrestler. It's like, Shek, you saying, oh, I beat an Olympic gold medal diver. I beat him in a swimming race. And it's like, okay, well, that's not his thing. he's a diver. It's like, yeah. And you're like, no. They both make their way in the pool. It's like, yeah, but that's still not, one's a diver, one's a, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know how much credit we need to give Jake Paul here over and over and over.
I agree. That hard-earned respect that people issue, you know, like, gotta give it to the guy. Well, 4-0. Yeah, who's he beating? It really is to me. I was watching Bob Costas' show the other day, and he was talking to Billie Jean King, and he pointed out, in the moment, you had to be around when she played Bobby Riggs back in 73, because it's easy 40, 50 years later to look back at that and harumph at that and say, so what? But Billie Jean King beating a man was significant for women athletes in that moment. And in the same way, this is what Jake Paul is doing for YouTubers. You know,
good Lord.
He is what Billie Jean King did for women. Jake Paul is doing for YouTubers, and it's pretty powerful stuff.
But isn't this the opposite? Like if, but it isn't the opposite. Like I said, if
no, she beat a 50. She's one of the best players in the world. And she beat a 55-year-old man. So it's the takeaway from that one was, well, so what? You beat a decrepit old man, but it was meaningful. Same thing. Jake Paul supporting all the reality stars of the world. Good for you. Who knows what's next? Snooki.
I guess so. I mean, and then he's like kind of humble after the fight. It's like, oh man, come on. I don't want to like you, dude. Say something stupid, you know? Go off the rails here. But I don't know. It was entertaining.
Trent Dilfer. I don't know. Jake Paul, Trent Dilfer, Javi Baez. So many people to get down. You know, Scott Frost.
We're going to get to the Baez thing.
There's so many people to get down on right now.
It's too much. But here he is, Sheck. I know you're excited. I know Eddie Spaghetti is very excited. But when you think of legendary Notre Dame football players, other than maybe Rudy, it doesn't get much bigger than this guy. He owns every quarterback record at Notre Dame, including most handsome Fox Big Noon kickoff analyst, our pal Brady Quinn. What's going on, Brady?
I can't believe I just got compared to Rudy. I'm not sure anyone in Notre Dame lore or history can compare to the one Daniel Rüdiger, otherwise known as Rudy. But I appreciate it, guys.
Is that I don't know. Maybe I bet some people get upset about that.
Yeah, probably. There's definitely some people get upset about it. I did see Vince Vaughn recently, though, oddly enough, who was in the movie Rudy. And one of the things that I said, I was like, man, you got to get back to campus. They love when you come back. Right. So hopefully we can get him out to a game this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Speaking of you, Vince Vaughn, we have all the beautiful bastards lining up to be on this show. We had Herb Street, now Brady. We had Leinart. Freddie Roach. But who gets more Fox mail, Fox fan mail, Brady? You or Leinart?
Who gets any mail anymore? I mean, who gets any mail anymore? It's not. What are they getting, snail mail now? I mean, maybe some emails or something. I have no idea. Right. I'm a good family man and all that, so I don't know who's trying to slide in my DMs, but I don't really check social media very often, so might be a different story for him. Before we get kicked off, I do have to ask you a question, though. I told you this before we're going to start.
Okay.
So you mentioned Herbie. Herbie obviously is – I don't think he lives in Columbus, Ohio anymore, but that's where he got started. And in Columbus, my favorite place to grab pizza is called Iacono's.
Is that right?
And I swear to you, Iacono's, there's one up in Shawnee Hills, which is there in Dublin, right up by the village where they have the Memorial Tournament, the golf tournament every year. But is there any relation? Do you have family back in Ohio where they're cooking up some good Italian food and some good pizzas?
I don't think so. This is the first. How is this the first I'm hearing of this? This is my last name also. Iacono?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Oh, now we're going to have to go. Now I have to go to this. Yeah, this is a dream.
Not much good comes out of the state of Ohio. You don't hear much about that. No, listen.
Here we go.
Quinn.
Here we go.
You're a beautiful SOB. That's clear. Herbie, also beautiful. But you know what? I don't know if these two eyes have ever seen anything as beautiful as a college football fan as this week's action on the slate. What a collection of ball games to kick. I know it was week zero. I don't know how much we factor that into what count. But I mean, what an array of ball games, which is the one. You can only watch one of them this week, which is the one that Brady Quinn consumes.
He's got to pick the Fox game.
Oh, gosh.
You got to pick
the
Fox
game. Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah.
Don't be an empty suit.
Well, okay. I won't be. Notre Dame, Florida State. And reason being is this, okay? I live in South Florida. I have so many Florida State fans and alum around me. I have bets out the wazoo right now. So if there's one that I am going to be invested into, maybe even financially invested into at this point in time, it's Notre Dame, Florida State, because I need my Fighting Irish to come home with a win. There's a lot of questions, obviously. Jack Cohn taking over, a bunch of new spots on the offensive line, you know, new defensive coordinator there, Marcus Freeman. So a lot of questions. I'm going to need the Irish to win and win big, if you know what I mean.
This is, you have Sunday to yourself, right? That's the Sunday game. There's only one.
I think it's Monday. I think it's Monday.
Is it Monday? Let's check this.
Yeah.
Oh, you better get this right, because you might sleep through it if we don't get this correct.
Trust me, I won't sleep through it.
They're an 8.5-point favorite. You like them? Come on. I do,
because I think there's more questions about Florida State and what they're going to be than Notre Dame. And I also think the other thing about Notre Dame that people have they let fall by the wayside because of how they've performed in college football playoff semifinal games, which, like, my argument against all those people are, have you watched the semifinal games? How many of them are even close? It's usually the top two teams end up playing on in the national championship, but the semifinal games have never been close. There's maybe once every few years is a decent matchup, but they're usually blowouts anyway. It's like, if you would have had the BCS, I don't know how different it really would have been. You know, between the top two teams, we probably would have been able to figure that out. Yeah. But I like them in this case because I do think they've recruited well. In particular, like the O-line, tight end positions. Cohen's going to be good, but they've got better skill athletes and more speed than I think people realize. And so, like, whereas I would have been concerned in the past with Florida State because their athleticism and speed, I'm not so much now.
All right. It is on a Sunday, by the way, so don't please.
It is Sunday. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. While we talk playoffs, I want to know, I, you know, Eddie Spaghetti's a producer here. We're all over him for this. He says you guys have a tougher schedule this year. What about when they go to this playoff system next year or whenever? I don't know if they confirmed it. You're kind of screwed by not being in a conference, right? Because you'll never get a bye that way.
No, that's the beauty of it. Now they guarantee themselves essentially a home game. See, that's what you're missing out on. This is all a money grab, a money play.
Right.
So they might have to go the long, hard way. So what does that mean? They play one extra game?
Yeah,
so
it's be a big it. Thing. No, you don't
yeah,
care?
But so be it. No, especially if they get to host a playoff game. Like, how big is that going to be? How big of a home field advantage is that going to be? So I think if you said to Notre Dame, you don't have to join a conference, right? So you still get your NBC money, your TV money. You still get a piece of the ACC. You can still be independent and schedule whoever you want. And oh, by the way, we're not going to exclude you from the playoff. You can come be a part of the playoff, but you just don't get a bye. Who cares? We get a home game. We'll go mop up someone there, and then we can go play against whoever gets a bye. I don't care. I think it's actually – it's worked out better for Notre Dame because you can't make that, oh, they don't have a 13th, you know, indicator or that championship game anymore. That's not even part of the conversation anymore.
Interesting. Okay.
It doesn't. Let's be honest, Quinn. It doesn't make a difference what Notre Dame does because they were kind of in the ACC a year ago and they get housed by Clemson and their reward for that is another bite at the apple. The one team that we knew for a fact.
Did you miss the first game? Did you miss the first game when they beat Clemson? I'm sorry.
On.
Is this revisionist history?
I'm sorry.
What's happening?
Listen. I saw what happened with the backup QB in there. That was fine.
For over 400 yards?
He did.
I don't think the backup QB was the problem. I mean, he's a Heisman candidate. He started, what, two or three games? DJ Uiagalelei is going to be up for the Heisman this year. He'll probably be at the Heisman ceremony. I don't think he was the issue. Look, Ian Book played clutch. The defense played lights out. They won fair and square. Look, Notre Dame was the best thing to have in the ACC last year because without Notre Dame, Clemson looks even worse with their strength of schedule going into the playoffs. So you're welcome. We joined for a year. We went to the conference championship game. You're welcome.
So that's you don't want a conference. No, nothing that anyone could say, any rules committee, any playoff committee could say to make you join.
If they started to exclude them because they weren't, I think that's where you have to make a tough decision. But there's a couple things that Notre Dame's independence allows them to do. I think we've all seen, like, the national schedule. What a lot of people don't realize is Notre Dame is a private institution, relies heavily on fundraising, right? Private donors. So when you can schedule games in LA, Chicago, and the East Coast, or New York, which they've done before, think about how much you're able to touch and reach all of your donors and all of your alumni base. That's something that only they can say they can do. Right. So that actually, from a fundraising standpoint and making money, which is what it's all about, that plays a huge factor in all this. And also say this, OU and Texas are leaving the Big 12. Why? Because of money. They want the SEC money that they're getting out of that conference. It's not to compete. Texas can't win the Big 12. You're going to win the SEC? Mm. They don't have a shot. So it's about money. Here's the problem. They're moving, and now we don't know what's going to happen to the Big 12 because of their brands and how powerful their brand is. So if that's the case, and if Notre Dame's brand is as powerful as I believe it is, most people would admit, because they've got a sole deal with NBC, why would they ever? If they can continue to keep selling their home games for money from any major network, which I can guarantee you is only going to go up the next time around, why would they ever then join a conference? Like, what's the point? Unless they can't play for a national championship, which hasn't been the case yet.
You know, I'm going to caution you.
Oh, by the way, you know who created the expansion was part of it? The athletic director of Notre Dame, Jack Schwerber. So, you know,
really?
he was one of the people who put it together and then pushed for it. So I'm just saying, you got to think about that too.
I guess so. Yeah. I didn't know if it would backfire, but I will say that, you know, you could, this whole thing, you know, who else had an exclusive deal with NBC? A guy by the name of Bill Cosby. So I don't know. Take it for what you will. Maybe it's a different thing. I don't know.
Is it that different?
Is it
Quinn? Obviously, Notre Dame isn't going to lead the charge for them to join a conference based on exactly what you just said, but the NCAA needs to compel Notre Dame to do it because this is a weird, different standard that Notre Dame gets to apply.
What are you talking about? The NCAA? Do you think they want to make any rules right now? They're just
I know they don't. I'm just saying the idea that Notre Dame is ever going to volunteer themselves to join a conference. You're exactly right. Of course they're not going to. Yes.
Here's the other thing. Here's what you need to open your mind up to, because I think people who are against Notre Dame joining a conference, you're not seeing the bigger picture. Because what Notre Dame allows themselves to do is be everyone's biggest non-conference opponent. So you know how everyone now is like, all right, within our, like, the, for example, the ACC, let's say they didn't have that subtle alignment. If I'm Clemson and I'm looking for a good non-conference opponent to make my schedule look better, hey, I'm calling up South Bend. Hey, Brian Kelly, you there? Can we get a game with you? Like, every conference is going to look for them to help improve their non-conference schedule. So in reality, them being independent only helps every single team they play make their schedule look better. So I never understand how people don't see that part of how they're actually helping college football. Like, again, you're welcome.
I love it. Eddie Spaghetti, jump on here, please. Let's see you video-wise. Eddie's a huge fan of yours and Notre Dame. And look at that shirt.
He dressed up for the occasion.
Brand new shirt. I will say, Notre Dame. Something happened years ago. Eddie could tell the story. You were guys in the same room and you signed one of Eddie's breasts or something. I don't know what happened. Eddie, you signed it. You tell the story.
Hello, Brady. I'm a huge fan of yours, Notre Dame. And this had to be your rookie year. So you and the Browns came to it was Giant Stadium back then, because I'm from New York City. So it was Jets, Browns, and I wore my Notre Dame gear, wore number 10, and we were down by the tunnel. And you guys are coming off the field after warmups and you like tossed up it was a colder game. It was like a Browns beanie hat right to me, got that, bagged it, stuck it to the wall. And I've preserved it for quite a while. Cause I'm a Giants fan, so I don't have any ill will towards the Jets, but that game, I was like, I have to show my guy and my Notre Dame fandom love. So I wore the blue and gold number 10 jersey, and you gave me the hat, so I appreciate that greatly.
Wait a minute, you bagged it like Orbach in Law and Order? As though it was evidence of something?
Yeah. How else do you hang up a winter hat? You ziplock it.
You stuck it like you shot a moose or something. It's mounted on the wall. I love it. Brady, do you remember this at all? Or Spaghetti making this up?
No. I mean, I used to always try to, when I was leaving warmups, I'd put on stuff that I typically either wouldn't wear or I knew I was going to go grab another one. So but when I'd first get in line, I always try to throw away stuff to fans as much as I could. I'd give them my shirt if I could, but like, that's part of it. Like, they showed up early, give them something to take home if you can, you know, especially if they're fans. So, I recall throwing my beanie up there. I recall there's a couple times I remember playing in the old, Giant Stadium. And the weather was just awful. I can't remember how the weather was that day, but there was a couple where it was just miserable. It was
especially bad in that stadium. The wind, gray, it doesn't really windy. Make sense, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. It was like one of those days. So I vaguely recall it, but I definitely remember always throwing stuff up in the stands. Like I literally tried to give fans as much as I could.
Good. Well, I mean, however you improve accuracy, right? You could throw it up to the stands.
I was going to say that. I had to give him something. I wasn't doing much on the field, so I had to give him a little bit of something, right?
Do you want this beanie back? I mean, this is your last opportunity to ask for it back, Brady.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
You're good.
It's
you're
bag.
Right. I live in South Florida. I don't really have a need for a beanie.
That's true. That's true. Give us your Heisman winner. Give us your who's going to win, come out of the playoff.
It's going to be really boring. You guys should be shocking to hear this. It's going to be a rematch of last year's national championship game. It's going to be Ohio State, Alabama. I'm on the Bryce Young bandwagon before I think anyone else should be. But, you know, when you've got a guy, high school head coach who's coached Matt Leinart, who's coached Matt Barkley, who's had all these quarterbacks come through modern day, JT Daniels at Georgia now, and he says Bryce Young's the best of the bunch. And when you put on the tape and watch the film and footage that you see, he checks every box, and he is going to be scary because he can keep plays alive. He's lethally accurate. He's got a good sense of timing and rhythm for a young player. And, of course, he's at Alabama, so he's surrounded by a ton of talent. So I think he's, to me, going to be the guy that if I was making a futures bet, I'd put money on him to win the Heisman. I know it sometimes ends up being somewhat obscure. Right. Joe Burrow a couple years ago, we didn't know he was going to be the guy, right? Devontae Smith last year, we didn't think he was going to be a wide receiver.
Right.
So I think even though he's still somewhere probably in the top five, it's good odds because as they start playing, especially week one, I think they're going to handle Miami pretty easily. As they start playing, that number is only going to go down. So that's my Heisman pick. And then, like I said, a rematch of the national championship from last year. And in part two, because there's two things that are separating college football right now, aside from quarterback play, the obvious, right? It's the trenches. This Ohio State offensive line, and no one's talking about this, they're the best since Urban Meyer had gotten there. So Urban Meyer, Ryan Day, that whole era, this is the biggest, most physical group that they've had. And so that group is going to pave the way for C.J. Stroud. There are six wide receivers. I was told that they could start anywhere. Alabama, Clemson, wherever, they all six would be in the starting rotation. They are that good. So I think they're going to be explosive offensively. They've recruited well defensively. This JT Tuimoloau, I don't think it's the right pronunciation for him, but he's a true freshman, 270-pound kid that can play on the edge, play three technique, they'll move him around. He's kind of that next guy to keep an eye on. Jack Sawyer's a big recruit too there. I just think these teams are reloading right now with the way they recruit and the way they've continued to be able to backload in guys time and time again. So Ohio State will be there. Alabama will be there, and it's going to be another boring season of college football.
Throw out very quickly.
This is exciting. This is exciting, Shaq. I already forgot about Jake Paul just from that minute and a half long rant. That's beautiful.
Those things were all bridges to this, Sal. The main event is here. Football is here. And there are so many things I want to talk with Quinn. I've talked to you before about the greatest college football game besides Nebraska-Miami in the Orange Bowl in 83 was Notre Dame hosting USC in the green jerseys, the Bush push and all of that. I could talk for 5 hours with you about that. Instead, let's talk Ohio quickly in the time we have left. The two QBs in pro football there, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, you just mentioned them. Three Heisman winners in that one division. Who kind of wins out in perception, in actual wins, in division championships, and so on, over, let's say, the next 5 years among those three guys, Lamar Jackson included, the two Ohio kids playing there in the AFC North?
And, I mean, it's hard not to pick Lamar just because I think you know, he's already won MVP. They're so loaded too. I mean, they're only losing preseason games because their backups will beat your starters half the time in preseason, right? So it's like, what are they, 20-0 now, 19-0, whatever the number is? It's ridiculous. It's like crazy. They can say they want to win it. They can say they want to win it all they want. All I found out was like, oh, so if Lamar goes down, Tyler Huntley's going to come in. He's just going to light the world on fire.
Right.
Cool. I mean, I saw a little bit of that at Utah, but now I'm watching him going, is this the same player? So I would say Lamar, but I got to be honest with you, man. Baker just looks good. And I feel like from watching him during his time from Texas Tech to Oklahoma, and then even at Oklahoma each year, he looks a little thinner, you know, a little more shredded, a little more ripped up. Like, and I know the contract thing is kind of like out there and it's something to prove. He's like one of those guys where I'm like, he's getting into the territory of like, I just wouldn't bet against him. Like, I just wouldn't bet against him. And so I think my head is telling me Lamar, my heart's telling me Baker, and it doesn't have anything to do with just the fact that he's a Browns quarterback. It's the fact that I've watched this kid from the time he was at Tech to Oklahoma to now, and he gets better and better and better and better. I don't have the injury concerns with him. I love Stefanski and the fit. I think the roster is immaculate. They're smart. They're doing things the right way. So I'm torn between those two. I've got some real concerns about Burrow and coming back from his injury, just that roster and what it's going to look like if they go through a coaching change, which they're potentially going to do if things don't work out. And just overall, I mean, that organization is just never really built around anyone. So it's not at fault because of Burrow. It's an injury and it's where he's at, the situation, circumstance. But I'm going to say Baker. And so I know I start out with Lamar, but I'm going to say Baker is the one that I'm betting on for the next 5 years. And I think the Browns will want to too after this year's over with.
What about
that's interesting. I love that answer.
Interesting. But the incoming class this year, Trevor Lawrence, Fields, Lance, Wilson, who stands out to you there? By the way, defend your boy Urban Meyer here for trading Gardner Minshew or for pretending that there's a quarterback controversy and then trading Gardner Minshew.
In all honesty, I think that was one decision that I always scratched my head thinking, okay, now I think I know the justification for it. And it's because he's a first-time head coach in the NFL, and that culture there needs a complete 180. And that's one of those things you do that I think, you know, you bring in guys that you trust, that you've seen before, that you believe in. There's going to be guys that are already there and you make them all compete. And you just say, hey, no one's being given a job. Because if I do that with one guy, the next time we sign a high price free agent or draft a high draft pick, guess what? He's going to think he just deserves to be here. I think CJ Henderson and that whole situation maybe had a little bit to do with that too. You know, a first round draft pick last year. Good cover corner, but maybe there's some things he's not really buying in. And they're like, we'll trade you. We don't care. Like we're trying to develop a culture. We'll go find some of our cornerback coming here and play. So I think it was about that, you know, Coach Meyer, I've been with him to different private events where he talks to corporations about culture and how to build your team, how to kind of build out that structure. So I know how important that is to him. I know how important he believes that was to his success at Utah and Florida and Ohio State. So I think that's what it had to do with it. Now, I personally would say, like, you might be kicking yourself weeks 5 and 6 if you're, like, watching Zach Wilson, who's taking every rep, right? And it's better prepared than maybe Trevor Lawrence would be with the guys he's playing with and within the system. So I think that could be the only regret when it's all said and done.
What about you're down there? What about what's going on with the Dolphins? And it seems like reading the tea leaves as much as you can. It doesn't sound like Flores is giving the full embrace to Tua. Is Watson really, and what is the wisdom of making that move right now, if whether it's the Dolphins or anyone else? I mean, you know, as they always say, like, oh, that guy's never going to play in the league again. If he's still talented, there will be somebody who will go and get a talented guy. But this feels like a weird time to do it, and indicting your would-be franchise QB in the moment is weird. No? Am I misreading all this? It sounds like they want to move on.
Yeah, and you have to think too, like the Houston Texans sound like the ones that are throwing out there all this, right? Because I don't think, because the Deshaun Watson situation hasn't changed. So why would, you know, whether it's the Panthers who look like they're moving forward, Sam Darnold, the Dolphins who, look, Tua's had a good preseason, good camp from all accounts. So why would their offer change, or why would their interest change at this point in time? It's the Texans who realize, like, we've got to make cuts. We don't want this guy to be on our active roster and then not playing and be a healthy scratch. Like, we're wasting a roster spot. And the NFL doesn't seem like they're going to do anything at this point. So right. I think they're the ones circulating that, stirring that up. I don't think there's much genuine interest at all, to be quite honest, because there's so much uncertainty around the legal situation. And then even from that, like, what the NFL is going to do. Because once the legal situation takes its course, then the NFL has to investigate. And then you got 22 people, right? I mean, there's 22 civil complaints. I think 10 criminal. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here. So I don't know that anyone wants to bring that on. If there's anything to it, I think it's that Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach is an opportunist. I think he is willing to do whatever it takes to win. He knows how hard wins are to come by. He did it last year at times when we sit back and watch and go, why are you pulling Tua? Don't you have to figure out if this guy can win you a game at the end of the game? And I don't think as a quarterback, that's bad for his growth and development. He doesn't care. He's just trying to win right now. He'll worry about the future when he gets there. And if Tua doesn't grow into that player, then so be it. They'll find someone else. So yeah. I just think he's an opportunist with how he looks at the situation. And if they were to trade for him, it's going to be that trade's going to be like a prenup, right? Like it's going to have this list of things where right. it's like,
conditions.
All right, this first round pick comes back if he's not playing in 2022 or not playing in 2023 or 2021. Like it's going to whatever draft pick conversation goes in there, it's going to look like a prenup. And it's going to be like one of those deals where 2 years down the road, like if something happens from the legal standpoint, the NFL, those picks are coming right back to Miami Dolphins if they were theoretically to trade for him.
It would have to be like that. Yeah. Plus, who knows where that rumor came from? I mean, could that potentially just have been made up for leverage?
Dude, I'm not going to name names or say anything else.
Say it. Name names.
One of the things. No, I can't. I can't. Because I work with a lot of people, too. So I have noticed now more than ever, there are people who throw stuff out that they just throw it out to see if it sticks or because they have to talk about something. And then they use that veil of sources. And it's like, come on, man, you know, or, you know, now they don't have to name names. I just think I'm not attacking journalism.
Schefter, you're saying Schefter, Schlereth?
No.
Something with the S-C-H. It's gotta be
No. I'm not naming names. I'm not saying that, but I think now more than ever, there has been a lack of fact checking and maybe integrity to some degree with what people write and say nowadays that they've heard or what's going on. And that's just from talking with coaches. That's talking to players. When you see reports and stuff come out, they'll literally be like floored by it. And they'll just be like, this is so far from the truth. So
I find that hard to believe.
I think there used to be the old standard when you put some in print, you had like tech two sources, right? Something like that. That doesn't exist anymore.
Now, wait a minute here. We have to push back, Sal. We're on the media side. And actually, so is Quinn at this point. Yes. Yeah. We have to push back. Kyle Shanahan's proven himself to be a liar. These coaches lie every year. The GMs around the draft and free agency and otherwise. We're just meeting the level that was established by coaches. Here's a question for you, Quinn. Now I'm back.
I don't deny that. Like coaches say stuff all the time. And I always say the media should hammer them. Like when you say like a guy is going to be here for the long term, you train the next year. You don't need to say he's going to be here for the long term. You know, you're smarter than that to phrase things that way. David Gettleman with Odell Beckham. David Gettleman's a smart guy. He didn't need to act like, you know, Odell Beckham's going to retire a Giant. Like, he could have just said, hey, we're really excited about this guy. We signed him to the contract. We can't wait to, you know, get him back out there on the field. Like, you don't need to, like, say all these, you know.
It's very weird.
Last week I said they should go the other way. Shanahan said, you know what? You caught me in a lie about the quarterback situation. I'm not to be trusted. And, try to think about that for the rest of the year.
No,
you're not going to get the
truth.
This. What would happen
you guys
to him?
Know. No, you guys know this. All he does is have to dangle the possibility of Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo in the same game. And what do you think every defensive coordinator does? They're like, oh, crap. Now I got to prepare for quarterback run game. Now I have to prepare for potentially option plays. Like in college football, you prepare when we played Navy every year, right? That's like, you know, go back to World War II. That's like a whole agreement with Notre Dame. We started in the spring. We then prepare in training camp, and then you prepare the week before. Like it's a whole year thing. And so if you tell defensive coordinators that now, every single week, every team that they play against, I don't care if you do it once or twice in a game or 20 times in a game, now they've got to prepare for all these plays. It keeps them up at night. It's like preparing for two teams. So I think it's smart on his part.
Why would you ever name a starter by Monday when you could do it Friday? Why would you ever be sincere with the injury report if you don't really have to? I totally agree. But yeah,
that's Belichick's playing the same game now. He's doing it with Cam and Mac. But I just love that game in South Bend. And so I have one more question for you about it. The Bush push. If that doesn't happen. I know it sticks in your craw. I'm sure it does, at least. If you guys survive that game, what happens the rest of the season?
Well, we play for the national championship. We would have played Texas.
Right. And how do you feel about that?
But, well, it wouldn't have been a good one. I mean, like, let's put it this way.
So we wind up in the same place. Okay.
Pretty much. No, no. If the top four teams were us, USC, Texas, and Ohio State, which, mind you, Texas and Ohio State played that year early in the season. Mm-hmm. That was when Troy Smith had just gotten started as their starter. And so as the season went on, and you could see he got better and better and better, but we obviously Troy Smith had a big day against us. Ted Ginn had a big day against us, but we weren't as equipped to go up against a more mobile quarterback like that. So Vince Young would have been Vince Young and probably done big things against us. We were best suited to take on USC, even with Reggie Bush, which obviously that strategy worked to some degree, at least close enough to give us a chance. So, it would have been a tough matchup regardless for us. Because I really felt like Ohio State, because we played USC and Ohio State that year, obviously in the Fiesta Bowl. I thought Ohio State was the better team. I really do. I think if they would have played Texas for that national championship game, and as epic as that game was, because everyone makes it such an epic big game, I actually think Ohio State would have had a better chance of beating Texas than USC did in a rematch.
See, that's how you live with yourself, Shaq, right? Like, we probably wouldn't have won the game anyway. So,
but most athletes delude themselves into thinking that, oh, well, we would have beat anybody.
Wouldn't have won. Like, that's the best thing about it. It would have been a tough matchup. It would have been a tough matchup.
Now that you're not jiving here, answer this. Does Jeff Samardzija throw a football better than you throw a baseball?
Yeah, interesting.
Oh. If Samardzija took over as QB and you took over as a starting pitcher, who would fare better?
Probably. He slings it pretty well. Like, we used to go out. Him, he can sling it. Him, Tommy Z, because Tommy Z used to play quarterback in high school. And then Anthony Fasano. Shockingly enough, our tight end there, and Fasano played forever, I think he did, like, I don't know if it was shot put or discus or something, but because we used to always see, like, who could throw the furthest. Fasano would do like this pirouette type thing and just heave the ball. And it was unbelievable. I would say, oh man, that's a tough question to answer. Probably Samardzija. Dude, so we had the whole bookstore basketball tournament. Yeah. No, we had the bookstore basketball tournament in South Bend, the largest 5-on-5 outdoor tournament. And there's all these rules and crap. You can only have so many athletes on each team, but it's like anyone affiliated with the university, employees, students, athletes, whatever. But you can only have like 3 football players or 1 basketball player, whatever the case is. Well, so we needed a player at one point. Now, mind you, we're in spring ball. Samardzija's pitching. And so, like, we were down. We had like 2 guys who were football players on our team got injured in practice. And so I've got like 2 other students that I recruited. We used to go scout them out at the rec center. So these guys are ballers. But I need 2 more players. Otherwise, like, it's 3-on-5 and we're in like the Sweet 16. So I'm like, Jeff, you got to come help us out, man. You got to come help us out. And so I find him and then like 1 other, you know, random slappy. And then Samardzija just balls. Samardzija was like, he's just a good athlete. Like, you literally could have asked him to do anything. And he's way big. Have you seen him in person?
I don't think I have.
Dude, he's huge. He's like 6'6" and he's got these broad shoulders. Like, I went down to see him when he was in town pitching. This is a couple years ago now. And I remember he came over during batting practice. We were talking. I was like, I forget how big he is. He's just a gigantic human being in general. So he was a ridiculous athlete, man. He would have been great at whatever he did.
Are you the greatest Notre Dame quarterback of all time?
Just say it. Stamp it. Stamp it.
I mean,
yes.
I feel like everyone who gets asked that question probably thinks they are as a quarterback because we're all very vain and conceited and all think that. So sure, yeah.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Wow, we're talking to the greatest in Notre Dame. And Notre Dame is, like you talked about at the top, they're a gift to college football. So that makes Brady Quinn, you know, a gift to football.
God bless you, Brady Quinn. Let's go out on that. Brady's giving us way too much time. I'm going to have to – I owe you a Lunchable from the vending machine when we're
– you guys need to get to Columbus, Ohio, or go to Iaconos. Get there for like an Ohio State.
Yes.
And we'll go to Iaconos. You taste out the pizza and you see what it's like.
We'll go to Iaconos and Columbus. You and I will give you your beanie back, the one that Eddie Spaghetti stole. we'll make a day of it. Big noon kickoff. Oh, it's going to be fun. On Saturday, lots of fun. Brady Quinn. Thanks for coming on, pal.
Thanks, guys.
He's so much fun. Lots of fun around the office. Big noon kickoff, Brady Quinn, life of the party. Hey, let's talk NFL. Now, we don't want to look too much into this preseason. Here's my takeaways. The Ravens, the streak is insane. They've won 20 in a row. Can't be overstated. 20 in a row, which is more than a regular season. So I've brought it up before. If a baseball team had won 170 grapefruit league, I don't even know if that's what they call them anymore, preseason games in a row, that would be a huge story, right? Kind of a similar thing. They've won more than a season's worth of victories here. They have. They lose Dobbins.
Civil War reenactments they've won.
Yeah, yes, but they lose Dobbins. So those are the two stories for me. Ravens injuries and Colts injuries. Colts lost another left tackle. That's the takeaway here. I don't know what the, you know, I was talking about it with Brother Bry. You could say this for every position, but why are running backs playing a lot here? It seems like the one running back and quarterback may be the guys that should sit out and root everyone on from the sideline.
Well, quarterback, obviously, I get it if you're a young guy and, you know, trying to get used to pro speed and everything else. The running back, I mean, my goodness, he could walk in the building two days before the regular season start, yeah, and not skip a beat as long as he's in shape. Yeah, I get it, too, when people say you need the reps and you need we need to look at this guy. It should be devoted to, as I've said ad nauseum, but I'm going to say again, if preseason games were essential, college teams would play them. They don't. And people say, well, they schedule a cupcake. Does Georgia have a cupcake to start their season off? Does Clemson? No, they don't, obviously. So we can reject that out of hand.
I think they are going to start with preseason. I could see college starting with. We could have had Brady Quinn, but I could definitely see that on the docket in the next couple of years.
If it's a moneymaker, yeah. If it's something that they could cash in on, then sure. Yeah. But there's no reason that you need to have two pro football teams smash into each other with the rate of injury, especially in this millennium. It's loco. It's why the players union doesn't want the games. It's why I suspect the players union would do away with them, except for that they're incented to keep having them because it puts the fringe guys in the spotlight and it's an opportunity to create tape of those fringe guys so that they get picked up by one of the other 31 teams should they get cut by the team that they've been with for the last month. But so they're not going to go away because of exactly what I just said. Both sides get something out of it, but the injuries are just the worst. What are we doing?
It's bad. It's good for your Steelers. It's good for your Steelers at these Ravens. Let them rack up.
I'm too classy, Sal. I'm too classy. I want my, no, I don't like, not. I really don't. I don't like it when the other team is hurt. Again, it speaks to my class, but I would never want to beat a team if their backup QB had to go.
Were excited. Well, when did they end up playing that Ravens-Steelers game on a Wednesday or something?
Yes.
You were happy to not see Lamar Jackson.
Because that was ridiculous. Because half the team had COVID and the schedule got kicked all over the place. And so it became detrimental to the Steelers who had done nothing wrong in that situation. In that case, yes. Ethically, I thought it was the Steelers got screwed by the schedule moving around for the second time on them in that last season. But yeah, no, I mean, it's terrible for that. It's a shame for that kid. And I do think, man, I said it before Dobbins went down. I'm not as in love with the Ravens as apparently the rest of the universe is. I was going under 11 before Dobbins got hurt, and I'm certainly sticking with that now.
I have exactly one team making the playoffs from that division, and that's Brady Quinn's Cleveland Browns. I have three playoff teams from the West, from both West divisions. In fact, in the NFC West, I have three teams making the final four in the NFC. Yeah, I mean, what the hell do I know? But, yeah, I'm counting these teams beating up on each other all year long. Steelers 9 wins, Ravens 9 wins, Browns 10 or 11. I think I have them at 11 in the Bengals. At 7, we touched on it with Brady, the Gardner Minshew trade, and I looked at it and I commented that, well, this is the I know people get on my case, but we haven't seen Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence checked down 10 out of 12 passes and ended up with decent stats. That's exactly what you need to do in the preseason. Good for him. But right now, Gardner Minshew is the second best quarterback, I think, in that division. And then he goes to the NFC East, where he might be the second best quarterback in that division. I'm annoyed that they get, first of all, we questioned Urban Meyer. All right, how can you say there's a quarterback controversy and then get rid of this guy for what, a fifth and a sixth? Second thing I was thinking is, damn it, why didn't the Cowboys get him? That's a decent.
Oh,
you could win that division with this guy, you know? And
I've heard the rumors the rumors that the Eagles did it to keep him from going to Dallas, especially with the mystery surrounding Dak at this point. It looks like he's all right, I guess, and ready to go for week one. But are we sure? I mean, that's now what? Not 10 days away from right now.
They're gonna, I feel like if week one, if we were supposed to win that, everyone's counting that as a loss against Tampa Bay. So, all right, if we don't get the best of Dak, so be it. But if that was home against the Giants on a Sunday night, like that game normally is, we might have a different story here. But yeah, you're right. By the way, the Eagles, now that you mentioned it, they do that a lot, right? Just blocking everybody in the division. They get Devontae Smith, or they make that trade to screw the Giants over. They screwed the Giants over anyway at the end of the year. Now they get Minshew to screw the Cowboys over. A lot of feistiness.
Do you feel, though, Sal, after watching as much as you may have consumed or not, or read or otherwise, mm-hmm. how much have you gleaned about your team and your division, the NFC East, the Giants, Eddie Spaghetti, plug your ears. There are a lot of offensive line, specifically the tackles, are not looking good. I ignore it, so I'm not going to overreact to it. If I were the sword who did react to what happens in preseason games, though, I would be spooked in the division that includes the pass rushers, potentially, that Dallas can throw out there, and obviously what Washington can do. And we know that the strength for the last decade, even for bad Eagles teams, has been their defensive front. That's bad for the Giants. And if you do react to that sort of thing, then we got to hand the division to the Cowboys, right?
I've said it over and over, and until they end up playing the games, I'm like, oh, look, they lost on a dumb play. You know, that's how they do it. But yes, I think the Cowboys offensive unit is the best unit in the division. Washington's defense is second, and that's why I'm taking Dallas. The Giants, you could say it's the preseason, the offensive line. PFF has them ranked at 32nd. Like, I can't give that team 9 or 10 wins. Like, if you have the worst offensive line, but, you know, graded in the league. Philadelphia, another case, I think they're $30 million dead cap money. If you look at the teams that over the years, and there's a pretty good sample size between 25 and 35 million, they win like 30% of their games. It's going to be very hard to overcome that. And I don't believe in Hurts anyway. So you got Dallas and Washington. I don't know. I'm a homer. You don't talk to me. I'm a homer. I see they're going to win 11 games even after losing against Tampa Bay.
Well, Spaghetti will tell you that the Giants' defense is the strength of that team, and I guess it'll have to be for them to be relevant. If the offensive line can't hold up, it's just practically, let's not, it's not overthinking things or oversimplifying things. If they can't protect dimes again this year, that's the wrong division to be in, because, you know, Chase Young alone is going to torment dimes for 120 minutes.
Spaghetti, was that exciting talking to Brady Quinn?
That was amazing. He's so on point with what Notre Dame joining a conference, with the playoff. I mean, even his recounting of our great moment together. He's really as good as it gets.
You know what's awesome too? These guys are talking gambling and odds and not afraid anymore, Shaq. It opens it up. It's a whole new world.
It's dynamite. Yeah, I could have just opened up FanDuel and just ticked down every game that we have upcoming in the next 7 days and just gotten his thoughts on that. We're here. We don't need, not that we, I don't want the audience to think we've been vamping for the last few months, but this is it. This is the main event. Just as you watch when you watch a basketball, when you watch a boxing night and you pay for it, you get the undercard. That's what July is. It's the undercard.
The sports fans, they're depressed. The Jake Paul Woodley fight is over. Where do we turn? But no, football, you're right. There is football. We checked the calendar. And we checked FanDuel.com/extra points. I love these player prop parlays they have. Now, I had a hard time finding one. They have over. I like unders, right? I like unders in all these. I think they bake in extra yards, obviously, for the extra game. They don't really count injuries in this, but I did find an over I like. If you go to player props on FanDuel.com/extra points, player prop parlay, Rodgers 40-plus touchdown passes and Devontae Adams 1,500-plus receiving yards, 6-to-1 odds, Shaq. That's not terrible. 48 last year for Rodgers. Twice in the last five, he's had 40 or more. For Adams, two of the last 3 yards, he's right there, 1,374, 1,386. Add the extra game. I like it. Rodgers 40-plus, Adams 1,500-plus, 6-to-1 odds. Did you see one you like?
I mean, Jesus Christ, though. I mean, 1,500 yards is heavy. But there's the extra game. That's By it. The way, when I say Jesus' his name, it reminds me. The Arizona State Sun Devils are now, there's a campaign to make them the Sun Angels because it's too offensive. Arizona State Jesus's. I want that. Let's do that because then let's cut to the chase. Everything's so offensive. If we go with the Arizona State Jesus's, then everybody will be excited, right? That's the logic I'm trying to apply. By the way, one other
thing. Does Jesus hold the pitchfork, though? The pitchfork stays or it doesn't?
No, we keep the whole thing. We're going to commit. We're going to make a hard right turn here, and we're going to commit to this because I'm just trying to follow the logic of people who are offended by Sun Devils. So this is 180 degrees, right? The Sun Jesuses or something. But anyway, by the way, when I say renaming things, I've said it before, and all the best to the good people in the Bayou there, some of the best people in United States and beyond. They are really a different group of people. I was there right after Katrina, and the people when Mardi Gras rolled around, as appointed, Katrina or otherwise, they were out in the street dancing, celebrating life as they do every year. It's so best to them, and I know
a
that
different
they'll,
zest for life. Yes, keep
yeah,
it going.
Really is. Prayers it really them. Is something. But you know, speaking of hurricanes, Ida, I mean Kevin. There was a Hurricane Kevin recently. We need to take advantage of the great refillable resource that is football players' names. Hurricane DeBrickashaw
is
then you don't feel like. My home was destroyed by Hurricane DeBrickashaw. There's a dignity in that you don't get from being destroyed by
that,
Ida.
That's one way to look at it. I look at it like, all right, Hurricane Ida's coming. Like, all right, family, we could beat Ida. We can't beat DeBrickashaw. You know what?
That's why you leave. That's what we need. Like, you're not.
But you got to get in a mindset of, all right, we can get through this. I like the sissy names.
But we're not going to hunker down, though. We're going to get out of town and respect Hurricane Mean Joe because, like, we can't beat that. We ain't beating Hurricane Dick. Let's go until Dick gets out of the way here. Now, the one I liked
is... I meant to ask you, do you like a freaking player prop parlay? Oh, wait, I did ask you this 11 minutes ago.
What a creep. I'm getting to it now. Here we go. Sure Brady Quinn mentioned it. And you're very excited about it. Listen, I'm like the rest of the football watching universe here. This is the Cleveland Browns year. We all see it. We all know it. Congratulations in advance. You know, make the parade plans currently, and you know the rest will just fill the time until we can have that parade in mid February in Cleveland. Now, Baker Mayfield 30 plus. Touchdown passes, Odell Beckham over 1,000 receiving yards. You get it at plus 320. There you go.
Do you believe
in
that?
How is that not going to go?
You're being sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic. Baker Mayfield's going to listen. 17 games, unless he gets hurt, he's going over 30. Odell Beckham, unless he gets hurt, is going over 1,000 yards. Obviously, the latter is you can be cynical about based on Odell's injury history, but I'm feeling optimistic. Yeah. Bet that plus 320. There you go. Muzzle tough.
Yeah, I think the Baker part is the problem there. I mean, that offense is going to be solid, but a lot of it's going to come on the ground with Chubb and Hunt, right? So to get to 30, but you got
take
the
ball
game.
Out of his hands too much. You
not
mean
not bad? Yeah, plus 320 is good. Good for that, I think. I mean, crap. I need 40 with Rodgers. You just need 30 with Baker. I have plus 600. You get plus 320 on Baker. And Beckham combination. I wish they threw some unders in there because I'd be all over it. It's hard to find like some of these overs here. How about
I don't want to pull the curtain back or anything because I'm not like I have any special insight on it anyway. But isn't that sort of a tell that there aren't any unders and shouldn't we be bet like we've talked about here already? Shouldn't we be betting the unders then on all the individual?
Yeah, they want you to waste
props?
Your money on the sorry FanDuel. I get what's going on here. You want us to waste our money on overs, let alone parlaying overs. But I do still, you know, I found one I like. You found one you like. I mean, I want to jump on one like Matt Ryan 5,000 plus passing yards, Ridley 1,500, and Pitts 1,000. That's 14-1 odds, but. You know, the odds of that happening are very slim, even less than 14-1. But I like the one.
The the chalk kind of picks to make, but Eddie Spaghetti mentioned it on -3 last week, and I really can't, you know, after a whole offseason of intrigue with Stafford and the, you know, contract status of this quarterback, and is that Hall of Fame quarterback going to play, or is he going to be the host of Jeopardy, or is he going to be forcibly retired by the Pittsburgh Steelers, all that. Let's get back to the matter at hand. The Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to have the best record in the league, aren't they? By the way, the Titans, number one seed in the AFC, is a great bet given what's going on with the Colts. I mean, the Titans have a relative breeze to the division crown unless they fall on their face. But the Buccaneers in the NFC, what are we talking about? They have everybody back. What are we worried
about?
They're
the team to beat, and the Rams are a better team, top to bottom, if you look at it. If Stafford's, you know, anywhere as good as you think he might be, I have Tampa losing to Green Bay in the playoffs as a wild card.
Wow.
Green Bay gets their revenge. But check, this is why it's all so exciting. Also exciting, you get to kick somebody out of our fantasy league. You won again. This keeps happening. Every podcast leading up to the September 7th draft, you are going to announce someone who's safe. Last week, you announced that the Dutch Mook is safe. You will not be kicking him out. I spoke to him on the phone. He was over the moon about it. He's very excited about this little shield you put in front of him. Now, you could be completely lying, but you did say you would add one every podcast from now until late next week. What do you think?
Well, I'm pleased to announce probably two people maybe listening right now will know who this is. But as a man of justice, I'm not philosophically for the kickout rule. It's Sal's diabolical ploy.
It's the greatest.
Sal got himself kicked out a number of years ago because I decreed that if I ever wielded the power, out of justice, he's the one who imposed this on us. So Sal's the one who's got to go.
It's fine.
All right. Now, I only did it once to you, though. Why? Because I'm a good guy. You know, I showed you grace. Then I showed Simmons not grace last year. Mm-hmm. I can't kick him out again. Please do it anyway. Kick me out again. Then I kicked out another. I kick people out pretty much every year because I win almost every year. A couple years ago, I kicked out our pal Blood.
I wish you would kick the trophy out of your car that you ended up totaling. At least someone could have found it on the side of the road. But
cool cats aren't in it for the hardware. It's about the eternal glory of victory. Right. I'm pleased to announce, for his sake, the bald-headed wonder himself, Blutt, you're safe this year.
Really?
I kicked you out a couple years ago. I'm not going to kick you out again.
Wow.
What's the point of doing that?
All right, so now here's the thing with him. Good guy, Elliot, lawyer. I'm friends with him through my cousin Jimmy. When I moved out here 25 years ago, he put me in a fantasy league. I put him in ours. I made sure, even though he's not friends with, I would say he's the most distant from the group of 11 here.
Right.
We keep him around, and it was that reason that you kicked him out. You're like, all right, I'm going to get the least friction out of Elliot Blute.
No, I kicked him out because, again, I don't love it, and I said, okay, you know what? There are too many things going on. I'm kicking out the last person to show up physically at the draft. It was Blood, and that was it. But I felt bad even then doing it because they showed up. He and his partner showed up, and they had made T-shirts especially for the draft occasion. And everybody got to look at them for about 83 seconds before they had to turn back around and walk out the door.
They had like a big meal and everything sent to the draft. I don't know what's going on. Well, all right, that's interesting. So the Dutch Mook and Elliot Blute are safe.
And I want to say John Hamm's
of the world and Hench, we're still on the potential chart. If this is in fact legit, there
I could be lying. First of all, as you say,
right?
One and two, I really would like to not keep doing this because to be announcing these things unless you want me to be lying about.
You're done winning. You're not kicking anybody out after, so don't even worry about it. You won't feel bad for it about it after this year. I promise.
All right, sounds like it's time for another legal document then. Like I had drafted a few years ago. Who knew I was about to start this dynastic run and not need it, render it moot, but I did have a legal document drafted by Mark Garagos, and it did in fact state, if I don't kick you out now, you can't kick me out for the next 5 years. Generous, because I could have really said, I'll kick you out right now if you don't sign this document saying you're never going to kick me out for the rest of our lives.
Right.
I could go that route too.
That I would. That would be the greatest trial in history, U.S. history, trying to make that hold up. Anyway, I did have a draft last night. I have one today at 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm on TV live at 2 p.m. Eastern. I have the second pick. Clay Travesty has the first pick. I think he's going Derrick Henry. It's a snake draft. It's a big money league. So to be doing this live, looking down at my phone on our first show back with poor Alex Curry has to deal with this right now. I think I have to go either McCaffrey or Cook. Maybe I'll let her pick. I don't know, but it's interesting that we're going to be doing this live. Maybe it's not interesting.
You definitely shouldn't. You should just announce without any explanation why you're just randomly shouting out football players' names.
Yeah. Okay. Can you input that? Someone else. I'll shout out to the commish. I can't. I don't have access on my cell phone in studio, but yeah.
Najee Harris! Just say you're screaming, randomly interrupting people. Hey, what about if we do this as just the staff to see who knows what's going down in 2021 NFL? Let's take 1 through 32. Every team on FanDuel has a season win total. We all pick the over-unders, and then we power rank them. The ones that we're most confident in gets 32, and the one we're least confident in gets
for what for
gets
record
the one.
For
record
picks?
For season totals, for season win totals. What is the season win total, in other words, to cut to the chase here, that you're most confident
well in? I'll tell you what, that seems like a good idea. Is that just me and you, or do you want to get the whole staff?
I said staff. You, I listen, open it up to the listener. I don't care, do it the whole way. I feel very
I would
strongly
like to do that
thing.
But then we have this fun thing tonight, this futures draft. So we did this back in February. So you draft in snake order. Everyone in on the Extra Points team does it. Hench is there, Harry, Parlay Kid, everybody. We do this snake order thing. And so Shaq goes first. He could take, what would you could take? Like the Lakers to win the title. And I could take Djokovic to win Wimbledon. So it goes from February to July. There's a bunch of categories out there. We have that draft tonight. I'm just getting a note. Joel is out. What is this? Babyface Joel Solomon's out. He's too good for the league. What is that?
This is a horrible excuse. It is a horrible excuse. I have to watch the Jake Paul fight again.
All right, come on. What is it? What is it really?
I have a cousin in town that I haven't seen in 2 years, and tonight is literally the only night she can.
Doing a draft on live TV. I can get fired for this. And you can't just break away for 4 minutes every 20 minutes or 30 seconds every 20 minutes.
This takes a lot of research.
You're in this, Joel. You're in. If you, there's no auto draft is the problem.
This is disgraceful. Brady Quinn sits here and at the risk of diminishing himself, he abides by the no jive policy and tells the truth about Ohio State being better than his Irish way back when. And now Joel tells us the lame excuse of an imaginary cousin in town.
No, Joel's
in. How are you checking your email while you should be.
I don't normally check, but my.
I was talking about hurricane names. And he tuned out.
I was deleting spam while Sheck went through Hurricane Ida and his hatred for it. You're in, Joel. So you got to figure you and your cousin sit down and figure it out. What is your cousin a girl or does he care about sports?
She is. I can't imagine that she cares much about sports.
Joel, this thing's over an hour and 20 minutes. Just figure it out.
Can we make it 8 o'clock?
No, the East Coasters don't want to do this at 11, start at 11 at night.
All right, well, then it comes down to either my wife pissed at me or you pissed at me.
Yeah,
so I guess exactly.
Whoa. This isn't even your cousin. This is her cousin?
I'm in. I said I'm in at the risk of her being pissed or Sal being pissed.
I'm doing a draft on live TV and then on my way home. I'm sorry, but I'll be doing it in the car. So you could figure this out with your cousin.
I have to tell Toby that I get first pick.
I don't know what that's going to do, but sure. Go ahead. Take the first pick.
We'll do that, Sal. Leave the listener with Sal the Sharps. Pick of the year. win total, the one you're most confident in?
Well, here's the thing. I'm taking the biggest, like, so my biggest discrepancy is Atlanta, who I have winning 11 or 12 games.
I know. I don't, your thing with Atlanta is very interesting, and I don't think it's crazy either.
I can't lose it. But I also, I'm going to tell you right now, I like the Raiders over 6.5. I have them winning 9 games. I'll throw that out there as favorite. I think that's it. I think Gruden gets it together. They're one of the playoff teams in the West. What's yours? What would you say yours is?
This comes out of my mouth, obviously I'm a gigantic homer. The Steelers are going over 8.5. They're going over 8.5.
That's what we did that for? You set me up to ask you?
No, I brought it up to tell you about the power rankings idea, which I think is fun.
I'm just upset about this Joel thing. I got to figure this out.
Let's do it. $50,000 buy-in, and that'll be it. But I do, and I guess I'm not breaking news here by saying that again, but really, I'm glad Sal is on the right side of history, even though he's going 9, which is fine. That's over 8.5. It's a smart bet.
There you go. All right. College football back. FanDuel Sportsbooks making week 1. Yes, we got through week 0 unscathed. Even more exciting right now, all customers get a risk-free bet on any week 1 game. That's right. Place any week 1 bet. Get a refund in site credit if you don't win. Here it is. I'm going Clemson over Georgia. I like it. That's a good enough risk-free bet. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Ugalele. I'm going to learn how to say it. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Sign up with promo code Extra Points to place your risk-free bet today. That's promo code Extra Points. Fast payouts, safe and secure, easy to use. And that, check, is why they're the number one rated sportsbook app in America. My pick of the day, do it on FanDuel.com/Extra Points. The Blue Jays and the under 9.5. The Blue Jays, now if you want them against the Orioles here, they're -330. And -154. Sheck, I made the mistake of when the Orioles broke their streak, their 19 in a row, they lost. I was like, they're going to now go on a little bit of a winning streak. And when I say winning streak, 4 out of 7, which if you take the plus money, it'll be good. Remember when the Sabres lost all those games and then they won and we were betting against them? Like, oh, crap. What is this? They're winning every other night here. I thought that would be the case. Not the case. They won one more against the Angels. Then they lost to Tampa Bay. They're 1-18 against Tampa Bay. All you AL East lovers. Oh, my God. We all have great records. Yeah, because Tampa Bay's 18-1 against the O's, which makes the Blue Jays -330 tonight and even -154 on the run line, which is prohibited. Chris Ellis for the Orioles, 28-year-old, posted 3.86 ERA, limited time, struck out 10 batters. He goes against Robbie Ray, who's Harry would stalk in Arizona. He would check his trash. He's competing for the Cy Young here, 2.72 ERA, allowed one run at 14 Ks through 7 versus the White Sox last week. I like the Blue Jays. I like the under. 6-1 final. Lock it in there, Sheck. What do you like?
Wow, I love it. He's given the specific score even. Yep. That's excellent. A good ball game up there in the Bay Area with National League playoff implications. It's the Brewers. It's the Giants. I am tempted to take the Brewers there. Cueto can't get through the sixth inning. He hasn't in his last six starts. The Brew Crew, the favorite team there, +120. Like I say, very tempted to take them. Burns v. Cueto there. I'm going to go with the over. It's at 7.5 there. You get it at -114. Like I say, Cueto has been fine in terms of runs allowed. The problem is that he gets you about halfway home. Burns has been dodgy. I think that these two teams, high-end teams in the National League, combined for at least 8 runs there. Take the over.
7.5, very low in today's major leagues. They've caught up. The bats have caught up a little bit. What else do I want to say? Yeah, FanDuel.com/extra points. Put those bets in there. But Sheck and I won on third. We had a big you had Dodgers run line in that game that went 700 innings.
That was a crazy
innings.
One, huh?
That's a fun one, and I won. I think I had the Blue Jays. I think I had the Blue Jays on that one also.
How about Damashek? We're not even into week 1, or now we are, but we were in week 0. 2-0 is what Damashek is on the season, college football-wise.
We didn't even talk about Illinois.
Told you UCLA -17.5. Now all of a sudden, a juicy game upcoming for them. SEC
little, little
out.
Spread there. I thought that spread would be higher. LSU only a 3.5 point favorite
because you saw what UCLA just did to Hawaii. How much you can overreact to that?
That's right. They're playing the best team in the country, UCLA. Yeah, that Nebraska Illinois game. It reminded you why it was week zero when the punt was fielded at the half yard line, and that changed the course of the game. But you're right. It was great to have it back. Javi Baez is a douchebag. We got to go. I don't know what else to say. With the thumbs down, he's going, giving the, I didn't know what he was doing. I was watching the game, and he's giving thumbs downs, and Lindor's giving thumbs down. The Lindor thing bums me out even more because Baez is done. They're not re-signing him. He should bat ninth. He should bat ninth in the order. Like, you want to boo the fans? You want to thumbs down the fan? This is not like, the fans pay your salary. This is not like, you know, you have a Twitter account and or a podcast, and you're giving out content for free, and the fans are booing you, tell them to screw off then. They're paying your salary. So if you're not dumping $100 bills into the crowd when you go 0-for-5 with five strikeouts, you can't thumbs down the crowd. But Lindor, we haven't even started paying this jackass yet, and he's thumbs down the crowd. We have to pay him for 10 years. It gets me sick. And the owner, Steve Cohen, said this morning, it won't be tolerated. Let it be a learning lesson or a teaching moment. Is it a teaching lesson and a learning moment? I don't know what it is. But I'm sick over it, Shaq.
Would you cut? I would be ashamed too, and I'm just sad that the Metropolitans aren't in action on Monday night, or else that would be I would be betting the team that they're playing because the wheels are off. Yeah. But I mean, would you advocate then if you were the owner? Would you say like, you know what, Baez, a powerful message must be sent. You're off the team now.
No, bat him ninth. Isn't that more powerful?
Well, I guess that's more embarrassing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just thumbs down.
Yeah. Why should he? Why should he get paid for the rest of the year to do nothing? Yeah, like
the good news is he's not going to get booed anymore because he's made it clear he doesn't like it. So,
listen, New York fans, they overreact. Spaghetti, you could meatballs, Joel, you could jump in if you're done with your cousin there. This was not an overreaction. The guy's hitting 210. And also, he went 1-for-4 yesterday. I know it hit a home run in a meaningless game and that they crushed the Nationals. Like, how excited are you getting? This is the opportunity you're taking to boo the fans or thumbs down the fans. What a jackass. Bat him ninth, check.
And by the way, I'm big on the player side of things, and I know it's uncomfortable for we fans to watch the shakeup of the things that we hold sacred, conference alignment and college football and kids going straight from high school into the pros. And that's not good, but it's all a rationalization because we want the sports to look the way we have known them to look. And so progress for individual athletes doesn't equal progress for our eyeballs. But right. Obviously the players are right. Big push now, like, hey, come on. They're human beings. Don't boo them. All right. Settle down with that. Great. This is a critical point in man's recorded history. We're allowed to boo. Yes, New York fans and Philadelphia fans are too proud of their booing rights, and they do spook certain percentage of players out of town, which is not good for anybody. But we must draw a line in the
You're
center.
Absolutely allowed to boo. You just are. There's nothing they got. You can't throw shit. You can't run on the field. You should absolutely be allowed to boo. And we're booing Javi Baez into the ninth slot. You're batting behind Taiwan Walker. That's it. Enough. We've had enough of you.
At least boo for the fans doing something poorly. You're just booing them back.
Yeah.
It doesn't even hold any logic that Javi Baez is booing fans when he's on base. It's great. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Were so bright 6 weeks. It's really sad because of where the Metropolitans were about 6 weeks ago. That's why it's grim.
It's over. And Syndergaard has COVID now. I don't think we'll see him as a Met again. Like, it's just such a bummer. Anyway, I hate to end the show on a bummer, but we have to go, Shaq.
It's football season. There's your pick-me-up.
Football season. You got -3 twice this week. You're starting to get serious. Some serious football talk. And, yes, what you got? You got Hench at the end of the week.
We'll see what TBD for Tuesday. But yes, Eddie Spaghetti and I will faithfully discharge all the best college and pro football picks. Because like I have said 17 times at least, football season is here, everybody.
There you go. It is here. You wouldn't know it in the Solomon household. They're throwing, I don't know. It's like early
his wife's cousin. It's his wife's cousin, Sal.
It's 9 picks, babyface. You get the bad point of the day for sure. It's 9 freaking picks. You got to stick your head in and make.
I have now canceled the reservation at Masa Pizza. and I'm going to order Iconos pizza. That's we're ordering in. The reservation has been canceled.
What time is the reservation? This thing starts at 5.
What? We're at 7, I think.
Is it 7?
It's at 7. Toby has given me last pick as my punishment. I will go back to back. Hurricane Joel.
Oh, it is 7. Season. Yeah, it I'm is coming. 7.
It's right when the
reservation. You're in. You are definitely in here, and you get the bad point. And congratulations, Spaghetti. Got to talk to Brady Quinn. Good job by you. Good job Bagged by Brady it. Quinn. That was a lot of fun. And a reminder out there for everyone, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.